It's all right if I pray for you.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Dear God, thank you for Paul, and thank you for all he has come to share with us today. We pray that you will send your word through him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. You may wonder how I managed to get the slot to do the talk on Trinity Sunday. Well, it is exciting, and it's a great privilege to be here this morning worshiping with you and talking about Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday. There you go. By the way, I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation this morning, so sit back, relax, watch the screens, and if you've got some popcorn, bring it out and you know, make sure you enjoy listening to what I've got to say. And I'm going to be leaping about a little bit because I can't see that screen over there. So every time I turn around, and I've got a pointer as well. So there we go, Trinity Sunday. I wonder if you, anybody like me, would be wondering what happened in the reading. There's no mention of Trinity. You know, Pauline read that, and could you see the connection between our reading and Trinity Sunday, or even the Trinity? Well, you'll find the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. It's a very good reason why it doesn't, and very good reason that we are celebrating Trinity Sunday today is that this Trinity Sunday was introduced to us by the earlier church in the beginning. Right from the resurrection to about 200 to 300 years later, they developed a problem. And the problem was people started denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Within the church, groups of people were coming up with fancy ideas and fancy theories, and they were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as not the deity. They were taking his deity away. So the church got together, and that's why we have the Nicene Creed, which says one being with the Father. They had to emphasize that. So Trinity Sunday, as you know, is about the three. So what's going on? And what we do need to look at is that it is about the oneness of the three in one and one in three. And our reading is very much about that because it comes at a very important point in chapter 16 after Jesus had spent all that time, remember when? The Last Supper. And he'd been working with the disciples and he was trying to explain to them what was happening. So what we have is Trinity Sunday, and it is about the oneness of the three and the three in one. So the question this morning, I hope this works, the Trinity. So the big question for us this morning is, what makes the three into one? And then the next question is, what is the one in the three? Can you do a Nicodemus kind of a thinking here? Bend your mind around this, and that is where the difficulty is. So what do we already know about the Trinity? Well, you know, what we know is that in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, by the way, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, right at the beginning, John very clearly points out to the oneness of God and deity of God. And what you will find right through the Bible, you will find the Trinity from Genesis chapter 1, right out of the book of Revelation, even though the word Trinity isn't mentioned in there. But what is happening here is that Jesus is with Nicodemus. Nicodemus already knows the oneness of God. He already knows, fully understands Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 6, you will worship only one God. God is one. Did you talk, Nicodemus knew that. And in John's chapter 3, what we have is that dialogue with Nicodemus. And what we are what Nicodemus has shown is the three. You know, the work of the three. The work of the Spirit is regeneration. The work of Christ is the crucifixion. And the work of the Father is that great salvation plan. Nicodemus could understand the one. He had to be explained about the person, the three persons of the deity who had three different roles to fulfill. So here what he does, Jesus is clearly gives Nicodemus the distinction between the three. Regeneration, crucifixion, and the great salvation plan. But then we move into that upper room and the Last Supper. And here he's with the disciples. With the disciples, he's already introduced himself. He's already introduced the Father. He's introducing them to the Holy Spirit. And what he's trying to do is bring them all of that together and explain to the disciples the whole oneness of the three. Nicodemus needed to understand the three persons of the Trinity, but the disciples needed to get to grips with the three persons being one. And this is why we have that oneness in those verses. And even in this high priestly prayer, you find Jesus bringing the three together. So the deity of Jesus was questioned. And that is why the church leaders, church fathers, introduced Trinity Sunday. So where do we go from here? Well, what do we need to understand is our reading today. And if you look at it in our reading, I hope this works. Let me go there. What you need to see is, okay, the pointer doesn't work, but I've highlighted the I, the Spirit, and the Father. Very clearly in our reading, what you find is Jesus is talking about the three. So verse 12, 13, and 14, and 15, very clearly we see that it is about the three. But have you noticed something? In verse 12, he says, I have many things to declare to you. We'll come to those many things. But the word declare is repeated four times. Declare, declare, declare. It is this declare that brings the three together. So what is Jesus trying to do with the disciples is bring the declare to you. So the obvious question would be, what is this declare? What is this oneness? What is this declare? And to understand that, what I'm looking at is an illustration this morning. So if you are Peter James, I would put your hands on your ears, because we're going to do a little bit chemistry this morning. And for all intents and purposes, water is a chemical. It's made of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen, and the formula is such that it has got very strong bonds, which we call ionic bonds, and they are all held together. So there's hydrogen this way, and there's oxygen in the middle. But what we have about water is two things. It's got its physical chemistry, and it is its chemical chemistry. So we're going to do is to look at water, and the water formula, as you know, is H2O. H2O. Hold on to that, and what we'll do is we'll put H2O right in the middle of our screen. What you have in water is liquid water. H2O, liquid water. It's one state of water. What is the second state of water? H2O, ice. Solid as anything. So obviously when you've drunk some water from the tap. It's time to have your gin and tonic. So you take the ice out of the fridge and you prepare yourself a gin and tonic. But then what we also have is H2O that exists in vapor form. Three forms, exactly the same thing. H2O, liquid, H2O, solid, and H2O, vapor. H2O? Okay. What we have about H2O is that what we have is its substance. The substance is its formula. That is the substance. The same substance is in the all three. Liquid, solid, and vapor. But also, what we have is the power. The same power is in the three because the bonds haven't changed. They have the same power. So the bonds have the same power. So the power is the same whether you are liquid, whether you are solid, whether you are vapor. It's the same substance and the same power, and the same substance and the same power is their oneness. Comes together. So chemistry lesson over, but shifting this one to the being of God. So we put God in the center. Can you see where I'm going? Already, I can see heads nodding. God the Father. Remember, we always say God the Father. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The substance and the power is the oneness in them. God in the center, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. H2O liquid, H2O solid, H2O vapor. So what we have here is that the substance is a mystery. In water case, we know what the substance is. We can look at the bonds in hydrogen molecules and oxygen and when they come together. But very powerful. But sorry, I better go back. But the power is seen. We know the power, power of creation. Right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke, the Spirit hovered, and the world was created. We know the power, power of creation, power of resurrection, and that same power of the resurrection is now at work in you. That power. All of us are connected together. So now moving on a little bit, what about this oneness of the declare? You know, he repeated that four times. You know, even there are many things to say. That is also a declare, but I can't tell you. But he, the Holy Spirit, will come and declare to you, for he takes what is mine and the Father's will declare to you. So what about the oneness of the declare, of the being of God? Well, it is the attributes of God. That also is the oneness of the three. And the oneness of the three is, well, look at that. One God is sovereign. One God is in total control and has full authority. Not three, nothing. That is the oneness. That is what many things Jesus wanted to declare to the disciples. And this is what the declare is, the oneness in the declare. Then, of course, what do we have? All of those. I can't see them from here, but I'm going to look at this. Only one God is creator. Only one God is lawgiver. Only one God is judge. Only one covenant that is in place, sworn by himself. The deity of God is one. One Savior, one salvation plan, and then only one God is the standard of perfection, goodness, love, grace, mercy, knowledge, wisdom, truth. You can go right through the Bible and you will get that oneness. So what is the oneness of the declare? The many things, the attributes of the oneness of God, which is all in the three persons. By the way, last week I learned something new. And something new was in the Greek, and this is where the analogy might get a little bit interesting, is that when the Greeks had their plays, you know, what they used to have was, they used to have that masks, didn't they? An actor would put on a mask, and you know, you had the smiley mask, that would be a comedy, and if it was a tragedy, then, you know, the sour-looking face would be, the actor would put on the mask. The same actor would put on different masks. And the word three persons, the word person, comes from the word persona, and the word persona, I am reliably told, means a mask. The actor got on a different mask. Deity is one being, but the person is different roles. It's not a different being. So these are the attributes of the declare. And now pulling it all together, what we have is that what Jesus is saying to his disciples, the purpose of his statement, the purpose of verse 15, all that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Well, his purpose is, that is very clear in there, to know and trust the one who is going to be with you, and he will be declaring this oneness to you. Unless the Spirit reveals the oneness, you will not know the oneness. And this is why you are called by the Holy Spirit into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He will declare this oneness to you. And, you know, there is an imperative in the Lord's voice when he was talking to his disciples. He says, listen to him, trust him. He is the Holy Spirit, for he is one with us. He's already shown them in those verses earlier on that he is one with the Father, and now the Holy Spirit is one. Three persons, one being. Okay, what about the basics? Oneness of Godhead, three, one in three, three in one. Well, if you look at the Old Testament right through, what you will find is the oneness of God, his substance and his power. Understanding his substance and his power is very clearly declared in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's the focus on the distinction, which is what Jesus was doing with Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, because it was Nicodemus who knew the oneness but didn't know the distinction, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the basics of the Trinity are right across the whole of Scripture. In Genesis, substance and power, and right through the Old Testament, but in the New Testament you will see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there is no deviation from God's being of Deuteronomy 5 and 6. No deviation. Nicodemus had to be reassured. And when Nicodemus got it, he was in with the disciples. He allegedly joined them. I'm not sure, but history tells us that he did become one of the disciples of Jesus when he understood that. No deviation. What does the Trinity do for us? It distinguishes our God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, from the God of Judaism and God of Islam. They deny that. Even though it's the same Old Testament, they deny it. It makes sense of the new Old Testament. How does it make sense? Substance and power of God we will find in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you know, what he provides us what the Trinity provides us with the framework to understand the New Testament. And it's the basis of our relationship with God and His church. But the one I like very much, it explains our mission. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is sending you. He is sending you. We are one. We are one with Him. So in conclusion then, the Trinity, three in one and one in three, the one substance, one power, and the one declare. All the attributes of God's being is the oneness. And the three, the distinction, the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the crucifixion, and I wanted to add in brackets, the resurrection as well of the Son. And God's redemption plan for all of us. That is the three. That is the one substance, power, and declare. This is the Trinity. Like anything else and everything else, there is always a warning. You know, this goes with a health warning as well. And the warning is very simple. We will never fully comprehend our triune God. What God, the only God we will absolutely understand is the one we create ourselves by our own imagination. In our own imagination, we cannot, because we were made in His image. Our imagination, God imagined us. We don't look, you know, God doesn't have hands, and I don't know what God looks like. But that is not the image I'm talking about. It is what He imagined and then He made. This is what He made. We cannot. So take it with a pinch of salt. I know the analogies are a little bit weak, but hopefully you will get an idea. And the whole idea of Trinity Sunday is to fire up annually the conversation about the Trinity. That is what its purpose is, that people can talk about the Trinity around their lunch table, dinner table, at the dinner table, with their family, with their friends. Because today, again, the challenge is exactly the same that was there, the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God. Like that H2O, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the substance and the power and the declare is one. Thank you very much. Shall we pray? Dear Lord God, I ask for forgiveness that even in our talks and even in our presentations, we limit You, we tend to define You. You are a mystery. For we all we know about You is what we know about Christ. So Lord, I just pray that what I have said today, what we have looked at today through Scripture, will help us to think and encourage us to approach You with boldness, with confidence, knowing that You are regenerating us, You have been crucified for us, You have risen from the dead, and Your salvation plan in our lives is fully at work. Lord, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stay here for a moment, Paul. I just want to say thank you.